Here to help us break down exactly what that work might include is Jesse Granger from The Athletic. Jesse, how are you today?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, man. I guess the best place to start is the feeling in Las Vegas after a couple of really strong years on the ice with the Golden Knights. It does feel like, I know the awards were there, and we had a couple guys down there for the awards. Like, people have fallen in love with this team in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, for sure. I expected the city to like hockey, unlike most when they first got the team. Even I have been blown away by just the way this city has latched onto this team. The city's getting more professional sports, obviously. NFL will soon be here with the Raiders. The NBA probably won't be far behind that. But the NHL was first in Vegas, and I don't think any other team will ever quite have the same attachment to this city that the Golden Knights do just because of that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, that fans are finding out, especially in the world of the NHL, the salary cap can have some challenges when you've got a really good team. This team has had to say goodbye to some original Golden Knights because of the cap situation. Overall, as a whole, what have you made so far of this summer's work from George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon?
Yeah, well, they are obviously in a tough spot after you give Mark Stone that 8-year deal worth $9.5 million per year. You hand out a massive contract to William Karlsson for 8 years. And obviously, they were a long ways over the cap, and they had to make some moves. They got rid of Eric Halla. They got rid of Colin Miller. They let some guys go in free agency, Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Ryan Carpenter. So this team's going to look a lot different. What I've been saying for the last week or so is I think they've kind of reached the fork in the road of this offseason, and the real big decision now is what to do with Nikita Gusev. And obviously there are two ways to go about it. You can trade another guy or two to make room to sign Nikita Gusev, or trade Nikita Gusev himself. And that's kind of what the Golden Knights are going through right now.
And of course, he is not eligible for an offer sheet. So how do you see this thing ending? Or I guess maybe without giving everything away in your Athletic piece where you wrote on this, kind of tell us what are the options here for the Golden Knights when it comes to this potential Russian star.
Yeah, so right now the Golden Knights are sitting at about $79 million, a little and some change on the salary cap, which means they've got about $2.5 million to play with. That's still without signing unrestricted free agent Derek Englund, who they're expected to come to terms with a deal very soon. Restricted free agent Jimmy Schilt and Gusev. So that 2.475 is probably enough to pay for Englund and Schilt, which leaves them basically no money to sign Gusev. The team's basically offering him a 2-year deal, Gusev, a 2-year deal worth $2 million per year. Gusev wants double that. He wants a 2-year deal worth $4 million per year. So they're trying to negotiate him down from that while also taking calls from around the league. I don't know if the Golden Knights want to trade him. I think this team is significantly better with Nikita Gusev. I think this team is probably able to compete with a Stanley Cup either way, but they're in much better shape with Nikita Gusev. I think he can score 50 points this year, maybe higher depending on the fit. But if they can't get him down from that $4 million, and if they can't clear out space, they're going to have to trade him. The other option is to trade a couple guys to make room, and I think the most likely candidates are Nick Holden, who's making $2.2 million, Ryan Reeves, who's, while he is valuable and he does serve a good purpose on this team, he's drastically overpaid. So Ryan Reeves is another guy, and probably Cody Eakin would be another option, just because he's got 1 year left on his deal and he's probably overpaid for the minutes he's going to play this year.
The biggest challenge around Gusev, as you talked about, kind of trying to determine what his value is, whether that is a trade or in a contract. Obviously, his camp would love to get the highest payday they can on a 2-year deal. The Golden Knights are trying to play it a little bit safe because they don't exactly know what he's going to be. And if he doesn't live up to that, they don't want to get burned by a high price tag. That's going to be extremely challenging to struggle with, especially knowing that if you trade him for something that maybe he's not worth, it's going to come back and look really bad on you.
Yeah, it's tough to gauge the value on these players that haven't played in the NHL and have only played their whole career on the big ice over in Zurich. And Dom Lecision, great at The Athletic with all of our analytics, he and I kind of came up with a percentage, and it looks like KHL players translate about 80% of the points they do when they come to the NHL. And if Gusev were to see that type of translation, he'd score about 57 points this year, 21 goals and 36 assists. That would have been second on the entire Golden Knights last year in points. So the projections are that he can be an absolute star in the NHL. Now, will he live up to those? Who knows? I think the recent history of Russian players coming over here and succeeding make it more likely he's a 50, 60-point player than it is he's a 20-point player. But like you said, you don't know. And someone's going to look bad in all this. If it's a team gives up way too much and he ends up not translating, or a team gives up nothing and he ends up being awesome, or the Golden Knights get a great contract or they get a bad one, something's going to – we don't know what's going to happen. I think it's leaning towards maybe they might have to trade him just because they don't have any cap space, but it's not an easy situation for anyone.
Jesse Granger from The Athletic is our guest, talking all things Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Will Nault. He is Peter Klein.
Obviously, a lot of the focus for Vegas right now is on, as you mentioned, tying up some internal things with this club. But if they were to free up the dollars to be able to go out and make any kind of move, what are some improvements you see this Vegas Golden Knights team trying to make?
Well, at this point, I honestly don't think they're going to add much to the current squad, because if they were to move out some salaries, say they trade Ryan Reeves and Nick Holden, I think that money's going straight to Nikita Gusev, and that's about it. I think this team is trying to find a way to keep Gusev. If they can't, that's pretty much it. And if they do trade Gusev, the whole reason they're trading him is because they don't have salary cap, so I don't expect them to get much of NHL pieces back. I think it's going to be futures. It's going to be prospects. It's going to be draft picks, because they simply can't afford the extra pieces. Otherwise, they would just pay Gusev in the first place. So I don't think there's going to be much addition to this Golden Knights team. They're obviously a really solid team as currently constructed. I think it's more of just futures if they can't sign Gusev.
With this team last year in the playoffs, they are a 5-minute major penalty away from going to the second round, and then it looked like things kind of opened up pretty well for them. Do you get a sense that there might still be a bit of saltiness around how the season ended for Vegas last season around this organization?
Oh, for sure. the players definitely aren't forgetting that all summer. It's going to be fun to start the season, because the home opener is against the Sharks, and then 2 days later they go up to San Jose, and it's San Jose's home opener, the Golden Knights, up there. So if they do forget over the summer, they will be quickly reminded by those first two games. It should be fun once the season starts. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, the Golden Knights fans here weren't thrilled about it, the whole way this whole situation went down with that 7-game series and the way it all ended, but from a hockey perspective, it's phenomenal, because it's hard to start rivalries. And since Vegas has gotten a team, I think the NHL kind of tried to force that Arizona rivalry, saying battle in the desert, and nobody here really cares about Arizona. And then it looked like maybe the Kings could be the rivalry, just because there is sort of a rivalry between the cities of LA and Vegas. And that hasn't really happened. It needs to be organic. It needs to happen naturally. And that happens through playoff series, obviously. And for this team to have a rivalry that strong only 2 years into the franchise is kind of cool.
Looking at players who could be coming up into the organization, as you talk about, anytime there's a team that is up against it salary cap wise, you need some young players to step up. Are there any prospects kind of knocking on the door for the Vegas Golden Knights who can make an impact this year?
Yeah, there definitely are. When they traded Colin Miller to Buffalo, George McPhee came out and said, basically, this opens up a spot and we're going to have a rookie defenseman on the blue line this year. And the Golden Knights have quickly built their forward prospect pool. Still needs some work, but their defensive prospect pool is really good, for considering they've only been drafting for 3 years. And I think there are a few guys that are ready, and they're going to battle it out in training camp. You've got Nick Hague, who was a second-round pick 3 years ago, and he's 6'7". He can skate pretty well for how big he is. He's got a monster shot at the blue line. He played basically the entire season as the top defenseman in the AHL, and the Chicago Wolves helped them to a Calder Cup final. And I think he's ready to take that step, but he's going against Jimmy Schultz, who was a college free agent who pretty much every team in the NHL tried to sign out of college. He was a captain at St. Cloud State. He was a finalist for the Hobey Baker Award. So he's right there. He's a little older than Hague, so he has that advantage. And then there's also Zach Whitecloud, who was one of their top defensemen in the AHL last year, and Dylan Coughlin, who also, he was another signed free agent who played really, really well for them in Chicago. So they've got four young defensemen one of them will make the team for sure. And then whether it's a rotation of those guys throughout the year or they play the whole season, they're definitely going to have some youth on the blue line. And then as far as the forwards go, there's really only one guy who's pushing for a spot, and that's Cody Glass, the number 6 overall pick in 2017. He has been phenomenal at every level. He played really well for the Portland Winterhawks. He was Team Canada's number 1 center in the World Juniors, and then he joined the Chicago Wolves in the AHL right at the end of the season, and basically with no prior experience in professional hockey, he led the entire team in points during the AHL playoffs. So he looks like he's ready to take a step too. Probably what happens with Cody Eakin will help determine how good of a chance Cody Glass has of making this team, but he's definitely really close to making that step to the NHL.
He's probably a few years away, but just your early read and maybe the front office's belief in terms of coming off that Achilles injury, but having Peyton Krebs fall to them in the first round.
Yeah, they are thrilled with that. Kelly McClellan told me he was their guy. They never thought he'd make it to 17. And when his name was still on the board, when they got up, they could not run up to the podium fast enough to announce that pick. They are thrilled with Peyton Krebs. They think he's going to be really good. And as you mentioned, he tore his Achilles, got cut by a skate blade a couple weeks before the draft. That may have hurt his stock a little bit. I think in Vegas' mind, it didn't affect his stock at all because they did their due diligence. They wanted to see how the rehab was coming, if it could possibly be a long-term thing. They don't believe that is. As you can see with Cody Glass, he's dominated every level he's been at. There's no reason he's not in the NHL other than Vegas really likes to slow cook its prospects. George McPhee does not want guys coming to the NHL until they're absolutely ready. So we were going to slow play Peyton Krebs regardless whether he had an injury or not. So it doesn't really affect their value on the kid because he's not going to be able to play for a year, year and a half. So I think they got a really good value with him. I think they got a good value in a lot of guys this draft. And Peyton Krebs kind of fits that same mold. He's the same kind of player Cody Glass is. He's a 200-foot center who kills penalties, plays on the power play, does everything the team wants.
A lot was put on the shoulders of Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously going into this organization, and then especially last year. The backup is Malcolm Subban. You have a piece up on him right now. How important is Malcolm Subban kind of taking some of the workload off of Marc-Andre Fleury this year, as very good goalie as Fleury, but still 34 years old?
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. It's extremely important. Last year, throughout the season, was worried about Fleury's workload. The Golden Knights obviously had a horrible start to the season last year. The first 20 games, I think they were third or fourth worst team in the league. And because of that, they kind of went into panic mode and didn't play Malcolm Subban at all for a stretch of about 2 months. I think he played 2 games. And they were playing Fleury every single night. He was leading the league in minutes played and games played and wins, everything. And I think it did take a toll on him. And at the end of the year, he had some back issues and he sat out a few games and he just didn't look himself in the playoffs. I wouldn't say he was bad in the playoffs, and it certainly wasn't his fault, but he wasn't the same Fleury who carried them to the Stanley Cup final the year before. And I think this year you're going to see them try to manage that workload a little more. I think Malcolm Subban is a very solid backup goaltender, if not one of the better ones. And I think they need to play him a lot more in the regular season. Fleury, like you said, he's going to be 35 this season. And basically, this Golden Knights team is solid. They can compete for a Stanley Cup. It's going to come down to Marc-Andre Fleury, in my opinion. And he's 35. He's got 3 years left on this deal, $7 million per year. He's getting paid like a top-five goalie. If this team is going to live up to expectations, it's going to be on the shoulders of Marc-Andre Fleury. So you got to do everything you can to win some games, but at the same time manage him and make sure he's tip-top shape heading into the playoffs.
Final one for you. We've talked a lot about shedding salary. I'm sure I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyways. Based on what Toronto paid to get Patrick Marleau out of their salary cap, I can't imagine that the team is still thinking about trying to shed David Clarkson's contract. Would that be accurate?
I don't believe they are. It's not as big of an issue because a guy like Marleau is going to play.
Right.
That salary is hurting you a lot worse. David Clarkson hasn't played in 3 or 4 years. He's not going to play. He's not even considering he's not even attempting to pass a physical to play. So that salary is going on the long-term IR immediately as soon as the season starts, and it doesn't count against them. And from I've talked to George McPhee about it a few times, and he basically said it's a non-issue, and they don't need to move it. So I wouldn't expect the Clarkson contract to go anywhere.
Jesse, thanks as always for your time. Enjoy the rest of your off season, and I'm sure we'll catch up again next year with hopefully another strong year for both Calgary and Vegas. But thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Jesse Granger from The Athletic.